welcome to our service today. And what I'd like you to do, I don't know if they'd be able to see you, I doubt it, but I'd like you to shout hello to those on Zoom. One, two, three.
Hello!
So I hope you feel welcomed if you're on Zoom. Couple of quick notices. No building blocks tomorrow at all. There's no drinks after, as you have been told several times, I understand. But if you're new to this place, there's no drinks after. And the Sunday social are selling cakes and other bits. Thank you. So donations for Torchstrass, and there will be lots of different things out there. So that sounds really good. And if you have just arrived, can I warn you that next Sunday you will be late? Yeah. And if you don't get what I'm on about, the clocks go forward. All right? So you'll arrive just in time for coffee, presuming we have coffee next week. No! No coffee next week! Oh. Own up. Have you switched on? Oh. Hey! And? There's something interesting going on today. There we go. What do? Just wave at you every time I want it changed. Thanks. But, verse from Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name. The first part of Philippians talks about all that Jesus has done for us. And it goes on after that verse to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's just pray. Lord, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And Lord, we want to come here this morning and praise the name of Jesus. We want to lift him up. We want to glorify your holy name. Inspire us and lead us, we pray, that we would be able to do just that. Amen. And, oh, our first hymn. You're going to have fun with the sermon. Anyway. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Words based on that passage. Sorry, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. I brought my friend along. Come on, where are you? Come on out. Do, 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 do. You sound happy. Yes! Come and say hello first. Oh, okay. Right, Leopold, say hello then, please. Hello! Oh, I like that song. Yeah, I could tell you like that song. Do you realise there are at least four other tunes we could have sung it to? Four? How do they go? Oh, okay. Those words, yes, are a paraphrase of Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 11. What's the matter? What? Do you mean paraphrase? Yes. What? Paraphrase? Well, that just means version. A version of those words in Philippians. Ooh. Translated, of course, from the Greek. Nick. Yes, Nick knows Greek. He may be able to give the original. You don't think so. Okay. So, those words, yes, are a version of what the scholars think is an early church hymn.
Oh, old.
Yes, it's very old. We've actually sung one of the oldest hymns that we know in those words, which is incredible because it feels quite modern, doesn't it, with that tune?
Ooh, first line, odd.
First line is odd. What, at the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, why?
It's,
Oh, you think it's like with making the name Jesus into, oh, what a phrase, like abracadabra or something. Something sort of magic.
Yes, don't like it.
Well, I don't like it, but we're definitely not. Jesus' time and name wasn't just a label. It stood for the whole person.
Oh,
so God's name means who God is. The name of Jesus means Jesus' whole being, everything about him. The fact that he came and lived on this earth. And did you notice in the song, it talked about him being given the name when he came to earth. The name was important.
Oh, then cross.
Yes, then the cross. Jesus died on the cross to save us. And had victory over death.
Now king.
Yes, now he's the king of the king of glory, as the hymn says. And he will come again, which is all there in that tremendous hymn.
Ah, good. I like it.
I know you like it. The whole song focuses on Jesus, all he's done, and all his power.
Ah.
You wouldn't actually guess that the writer, Caroline Noel, was stuck in bed. She was bedridden with a very serious illness. But in that hymn, she focuses on Jesus and not her sickness, not her loneliness.
That's good.
It is good. And I think it's a challenge to all of us to focus on Jesus. Whatever is going on.
Ooh.
Anyway, I think it's time for you to say goodbye.
Yes. Sleep.
Well, try and listen, Leopold, instead of nodding off. But I'll let you go back in your bag. Are you going to say bye-bye in the only way you can?
Yes. Ta-ra. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Come on. Come on, you get in there.
Yes.
Right, we're going to turn to prayer. You'll say hello later. The prayer is based on Philippians chapter 2. And you, please will you join in with the words, Jesus is Lord. Right? And we will start with the prayer being quite loud, then we will get quieter in the middle, and then we will get loud again. You'll see as it goes. All right? So I will say a phrase, and you respond with, Jesus is Lord. So, equal with God. Any louder? Emptied himself. Came as a slave. Found as a man. Humbly obeyed. Went to his death. Death on a cross. God raised him up. Gave him the name. Higher than all. Every knee bow. All tongues confess. Which leads us nicely into our two songs from the music group. The first one talks about you laid aside your majesty. Again, the things in Philippians 2. Jesus put aside heaven and came to earth for each one of us. Song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That surely is all of our prayers. That God will work in our lives and open our eyes to see Him high and lifted up. Thank you. To see you. We do pray you would open the eyes of our hearts Lord, we pray that for us who are staying in the building here, we pray that for our young people who are going off to their own group now. Pray you bless them, bless their leaders too. Amen. So at this point, Sunday social, if you'd like to disappear. It's all right, something strange going on. Right, we'll come to our prayers now, and it's based on Psalm 13. And up on the screen, if you'd like to, there are some words for you to say. Then I will pray, then I will move the slide on. But I'll let you know when I'm doing that, so that you can actually close your eyes, if that's what you normally do for prayer. So, join me with me in these words at the start of Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Lord, we pray for those who feel forgotten, for those who feel unseen. May they know that they are remembered and seen by you, God. Help us to partner with you to remember the forgotten. Search our hearts to reveal those we hide our faces from, the outcast, the stranger, or the homeless. Change our hearts that we may turn our faces towards these people and see them as your beloved children. We especially pray for those Christians who are being persecuted in Iran, who may well feel isolated and forgotten. Pray you'd guide the new covenant there, but ask you to protect the secret churches, granting believers both wisdom and courage. Strengthen the prisoners and their families, Lord, ensuring their mental and physical well-being. Lord, please bless that church in Iran, allowing it to multiply safely. The next words. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? We pray for those who struggle with mental illnesses, anxiety, and depression. We pray that there will be resources released to help enough staff employed and finances given towards mental health services nationally. Help us to be a friend and a listening ear to those who suffer. Fill us with compassion and wisdom. Ultimately, we pray for those who wrestle with sorrow, that they may know your victory over those dark thoughts which currently seem to triumph. We lift those we love to you, those in our own families, and particularly those who are finding life difficult. May they know your presence with them in their struggles. Next slide says, look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Lord, we pray for those who might be considered fallen by those around them. May they know your restoration and grace. Lord, we particularly think of those who are in war-torn areas, who are suffering so much, longing that they would get the help they need. And that there would be peace. But help us, Lord, not to judge others or to exclude your beloved children, but instead May we lift them up in prayer and embrace them with the grace we know in Christ. Thank you, loving God, for hearing our prayer. And the final slide is a commitment. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
Thank you. Good morning. We're in Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole of this section because Laura's done the hymn bit in what she was saying at the start of the service. So I'm going to read 1 to 5 and then 12 to 16. This is St. Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then to verse 12. Have I skipped one now? Yeah. I'm right now. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. Well, we'll look at Philippians chapter 2 in a moment or two. We've already sung one hymn based on this chapter, and now we're going to sing another. I'm sure Graham Kendrick got inspiration for this wonderful hymn from those words. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Well, it's now nearly 40 years old, that hymn. But it will be a standard. They'll be singing it for centuries to come. I once shook Graham Kendrick's hand, you know. I was speaking in rhyming couplets for a week afterwards. Now then. Laura and I have been given chapter 2 of Philippians to talk about this morning. And the title we were given is Living in the Light. And Paul encourages us to live in the light, to live in the light so that we might shine as stars in the sky. It's a lovely image, isn't it? That we should so shine in this corrupt world that people might notice a difference in us. I'm not sure if I've shown you that image before. It's of Cotton End Baptist Church in Bedfordshire. It's a little church which I'm helping at the moment as their church moderator. It's a little church with a big heart for its local community. And I just love this photo from their website of a church shining in the darkness, being a real light to that community. And we as individuals should shine in the darkness of the world. And Paul tells them to do everything without grumbling or arguing, to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Now, those things, of course, are easier to say than they are to do. And I'm sure Paul would agree with that. And that's why he starts this section with a most important word. In fact, it's one of Paul's favourite words. It's the word therefore. Therefore. Therefore, my dear friends, Paul is telling us to work out our salvation. Don't grumble, don't argue. And he's telling us how to do it by looking at what's gone before in the first part of the chapter. In that first part of the chapter, Paul says that we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Or another translation is the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Those are the things that we should have. We need to think about the humility of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, and as the humanness of Jesus and all that Jesus gave up when he came into this world as a servant for us. We see it in Jesus's humanity. We see in Jesus's humanity our role model to follow. And yet you cannot look at Jesus the man in isolation. For in Jesus the man, we see Jesus the man God. Now, as we've just sung it, Graham Kendrick fashioned this wonderful hymn, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. A hymn that I say, I'm sure we'll be singing a long time after the author and the first congregations have ceased to be. For it's surely a scriptural hymn, and part of its inspiration is Philippians chapter 2. In fact, as we've already said this morning, Philippians 2 is probably itself a hymn. Scholars think that the words Paul uses here are either a hymn or a creed that would have been sung or recited at early services. And if we want to live in the light, then we really need to appreciate what it means to have the mindset and the attitude of Jesus. Now, the first thought that the Philippian hymn contains is that Jesus is God. Without that, the hymn has no meaning. Indeed, our Christian faith has no foundation. Jesus is God. As Christians, we worship a God who is one, but are able to take on a Trinity, three forms. When we say in the Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ our Lord, we're not just describing the Father as God and adding on Jesus as an appendix, but including the Son and later on the Holy Spirit alongside the Father as all being part of the one God. It's the same in the blessing. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't imply three blessings by three different gods, but one blessing given in all its fullness. Jesus is the very nature of God. If we want to see God, we look at Jesus. And Jesus is the human form of God, or God within the human frame. Now, friends, as Christians, these are things which are so, so important, because at some stage you will get somebody knocking on your door and trying to confuse you about this. I had them the other Tuesday morning a few weeks ago. I was out in the garden and they came. It was a lovely sunny morning, so I was quite happy to stand there and have a good chat, right? And they want to try, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? They want to try and tell you that Jesus is just a man. Jesus is God. Where does it say in your Bible about the Trinity? Well, it doesn't spell it out, but there are lots of different places where we see, and Philippians 2 is one of them, that Jesus is in the form of God. Jesus is God. Whereas humans, Adam if you like, are made in the image of God, Jesus is the form and the very essence of God. And that's absolutely core to our Christian faith. You will at times come across... Oh, I went off course there. You will, of course, at times come across people who speak of Jesus as being a good man and somebody whose behaviour, attitudes and moral standards the world should endeavour to follow. I've no argument with that bit. But if their understanding of Jesus stops at that point, then Jesus cannot be a saviour. For it's only because he is God that he is able to die for our sins and we might know God's forgiveness. Do talk to them if they come. It's very, very sad. Because they don't see Jesus as God, that they've no guarantee of salvation. Very sad. Jesus is God, indeed was God, alongside God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, before he ever came into this world as a man. And Jesus was secure in that relationship. And hence Paul writes in verse 6, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't need to. He was safe and confident within the Trinity. There are a few places in the Gospels where God the Father speaks. When the voice of God thunders out of heaven, as it did when Jesus was baptized, and again when Jesus had taken three of his disciples up the mountain and was transfigured before their very eyes. And the nature of God's words are always the same. This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. It's as if the love of God the Father just cannot be constrained. God's so thrilled by his Son, a sort of, that's my boy, but he breaks into the world in rejoicing. The relationship between Father and Son is beautiful, perfect, and complete. And Jesus, as the Son, was complete and confident in that relationship. As Jesus says of the relationship, the Father and I are one. There's this perfect love and bond between them. Indeed, between all three persons of the Trinity, there's this bond that nothing can ultimately destroy. And it's because of that security that Jesus felt confident in taking on the role of a servant. Jesus took on the role of a servant, became nothing, because he was confident in the relationship that he had with God the Father. Question time. Who's that gentleman? 19th century politician. Prime Minister 4 times. Gladstone, thank you very much. It's Mr. Gladstone. Yes, William Gladstone, 1809 to 1898. He was a Christian as well, was Gladstone, but I wanted to tell a little story about him today. There's a story told that he once held a dinner for his tenants and estate workers. And it was a very good dinner, and it was served in the very best style, complete with napkins and finger bowls. Yes, one or two of you ahead of me here, and I have to confess I have done this when I was very, very young. One man who'd never been to such a dinner before started drinking from his finger bowl. Some guests who knew the real purpose of the bowls started nudging one another and sniggering. Whereupon Mr. Gladstone put down his knife and fork, picked up his finger bowl, and drank from it. That's a good story. Gladstone, you see, had confidence in his position to be able to do that. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, it is always the secure who are humble. Think about that for a minute. It's the secure who are humble. And Jesus was able to be humble because he was secure. Jesus, in the words of verse 7, Jesus became nothing. Or as another translation puts it, he made himself of no reputation, purging himself and emptying himself in order to take on the nature of a servant. Emptying himself of his divine nature, not using any advantage or privilege that his status would bring. And he became a servant. And the word we have a servant actually means bond servant or even slave. One who has no rights of his own, whose whole purpose is to serve. And yet Jesus wasn't just a zombie. Although he'd emptied himself of his divine attributes, his emotions were still intact. He knew what he was doing. I loved the verse from Wesley's great hymn, which again I'm sure is inspired by Philippians chapter 2 and Can It Be? The verse that goes, emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. When he came to this world as a man, Jesus was still God. He came as a God of love, and he knew what his departure from the earth would involve. That it would involve death. Even death on a cross. And the Bible says that, even death on a cross, to emphasize the pain of the death. For the cross, crucifixion, was the most, probably still is, barbarically painful way to die. When we think of the nails going in, the blood, sweat and tears, they were all real and hurt Jesus as much as they hurt anyone who ever died in that hideous way. But Jesus' humbling was a means whereby God could exalt him. He exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You know, you can't be lifted up unless you're low to start with. By humbling himself and to death on a cross, Jesus was brought low, but then he was lifted up and exalted. We truly have a wonderful God. A God who, as Jesus, knows what it means to become nothing, to live in humility, and to take on the servant's role. And it's to that calling that he calls us to follow. Now, in following Jesus, we have to realise that we don't necessarily follow exactly as he did. In the season of Lent, we quite often look at Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. And one of the things we have to realise in studying them is that you will never be tempted by the same temptations as Jesus was. None of us is going to be tempted to turn stones into bread, because it's something that we're incapable of doing. But Jesus, because of his divinity, was quite capable of exercising that power. The exact same temptations won't come to us. But in the manner in which we see Jesus dealt, with the devil, we see an example to follow. We are called as individuals to follow Jesus, to take on the servant role. Not to do exactly the same things as Jesus, but to see in his willingness to be a servant a pattern for us to follow. And we're called as a church to be the servant of the Lord, and also to be the place where the love of God is practiced, so that each and every one of his children feels secure, loved, and thus encouraged to live our lives as he would want us to. Jesus was able to become a servant, to become humble, because he was secure. He was secure in God's love. In the same way, we need to feel secure and loved by God, so that we can become humble servants. We can't be humble servants unless we know that love of God. And after his humbling, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And one day, because of his humility, we shall see Jesus in heaven when he calls us his servants to come home. Now then, have you given up anything for Lent? That sounds quite negative, doesn't it? New Year resolutions, by contrast, sound far more positive. Unless, of course, you only make New Year resolutions to give them up for Lent. But that's a different thing. Perhaps rather than saying, what have you given up for Lent, we should talk about Lent resolutions. And yet, if we only talk about resolutions, they'll have no effect. Now, I made a New Year resolution this year when I downloaded a fitness app onto my phone. It was January, it was dark and cold, I didn't feel like going out on my bike, and for exercise, I downloaded an app. Yet the app itself will not make me fit. It is only, and I do turn it on, I promise you, it is only by turning it on and doing the exercises that I derive any benefit at all. Now, you're all ahead of me now, and you can see the parallels I'm making. We want to live in the light. We want to shine as stars. But it's just words unless we have the same mindset and the same attitude as Jesus. And that for us should be our example to follow, putting self-interest to one side and looking to the needs of others. It isn't always easy, But something that I feel we learn from Jesus is the security that he enjoys with his heavenly Father. And that same security is ours. For Jesus, in the ultimate act of obedience, died for us that we might be forgiven and know the love of God for ourselves. You see, the love of God puts a new relationship on us. That yes, although God calls us to be servants, he knows us and loves us as children. God loves me as if there's only me. And the love and the strength of that relationship is something that neither life nor death, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, not even the pointing fingers of others, will ever be able to break. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In that, we are secure. We are secure in that, and that relationship of being within the love of God is what should encourage us to take on the servant's role, to humble ourselves, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to give up grumbling and arguing, and to serve others as Christ has served us, that we might live in his light. Amen. Amen. Well, that's the thought of the final hymn we're going to sing this morning. It has that chorus, the second bit is the chorus. Lights to the world, O light divine, kindle in us a mighty flame, till every heart consumed by love shall rise to praise your holy name. Yes, play it. It's a while since we've sung it, Brian, so play it all the way through, and then we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
May the light of God, the Father, guide your choices and your steps. May the flame of Christ kindle your heart to love. And may the fire of the Holy Spirit free you to live for God. Amen.